1 Timothy 6:6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Remember that godliness is not being like God. There is a desire in every believer to be like our Lord Jesus Christ, God in human flesh. But this word, godliness, means reverence. It means to be devout. And contentment means a perfect condition of life in which no aid or support is needed. So godliness is not us being like God. It's us acting like God is God, revering Him, worshiping Him, honoring Him alone. And contentment, God being God and us being perfectly happy with that, that's value. That's gain. That's worth something. That's worth everything. Think of Jacob when he gave Esau that caravan of gifts in Genesis 33. Jacob and Esau had been estranged from one another, and Jacob was very afraid to meet Esau because he had wronged Esau greatly. And so when they met, Jacob sent before him a caravan of gifts for Esau. And Esau tried to refuse them. He said, "Brother, what was this? What was all this that came before you?" And he said, "Well, this is the blessing that I brought for you. These are gifts from me to you." And Jacob said, "Take them away. I don't need that. I've got enough. I have enough." And that word, of course, means I have abundance. I have a lot. I have plenty. And then Jacob said this in Genesis 33:11, "Take, I pray thee, my blessing that is brought to you, because God hath dealt graciously with me." Esau didn't say anything about that. He just said, "I've got plenty of stuff." Jacob said, "God has been gracious to me, and I have everything." I'm telling you, that's what he said. You look it up. Scratch out that word "enough" in chapter 33, verse 11, and put "everything" right there, because that's what that word means. That's what we're talking about. That's our text. God hath dealt graciously with me. God has. God has blessed me. God has bestowed His grace on me. "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath given unto me, that I should be called the Son of God. I have everything. I'm content. I have a quality and condition of life in which no aid or support is needed." Oh, that's our text now. If God indeed has dealt graciously with you this morning, then you have everything, regardless of material goods, regardless of your status in life, regardless of your circumstances, you have everything. That's great gain now. Godliness. God being God and being everything you need. Verse 7 in our text, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out." There's a lot of teaching in that simple statement. Think about this. We brought nothing in this world, and it's certain that we'll carry nothing out. In the context of the previous verse, let's think about this. Everything in this world, indeed this world itself, is temporary. We carry nothing in and we'll carry nothing out. And during the time between you coming into this world and the time you leave it, you have some things on loan from God. You're not taking them with you. You didn't bring them with you. You're not taking them with you. They're on loan now for a time from God. Most people act as if those things are what it's all about. God's people, by God's grace, know that God only gives us those things for His glory. He gives them for His glory. Of course, we're sustained in this world by things that God gives, but even your plowing of your fields is evil in the sight of God if you give Him not glory in it. He didn't give it just so you could eat. He gave it so He could be glorified. Give Him the gratitude and the glory that He deserves in everything. Now, my brother just read that. There could not have been a better passage to go along with our Sunday school lesson this morning and what we're talking about right now. God deserves His glory and grace to be honored. He deserves our gratitude in everything. In everything, give thanks. The second thing this verse teaches, we didn't bring anything into this world and we're not carrying anything out. Everything you have is from God. First Corinthians 4:7, for who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? Why do we glory as though we accomplished something or earned something? The third thing this teaches is, in light of eternity, the things of this world are worthless. You didn't bring anything in. You're not taking anything out. You're going to go meet God with nothing. Unless God being God makes you happy. Godliness with contentment is great gain. And it's all you have. It's all you need. If you think you have something else, you have nothing. What is gold in eternity? What is money? What is anything in eternity? Proverbs 23:4, labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Will you set your affection? I said a while ago, most people think that this stuff is what it's all about. God says it is not. That which is not. Fourthly, this verse teaches you came into this world with nothing, but did you have everything you needed? You know what you needed then? You needed God. And that's it. You're going to leave this world with nothing. What are you going to need then? You need God, and that's all. So what do you really need right now in light of that? You carry nothing into this world. You carry nothing out. So what do you really need? He that hath the Son hath life. Verse 8 in our text, and having food, and raiment, let us be therewith content. There's that beautiful word again, content. To be completely satisfied. You know, we live every moment in this world as if we needed something. You think about that. All you can't get it out of your head. There's always something in there that you're needing, you're wanting, you're desiring, you're striving for. You're not going to be able to get it out of your mind. Not completely. Not in this world. I need to do this. I need to finish that. I need to accomplish this. I need to gain this. I need to this and that. And I'm not suggesting that we be negligent of our commitments in this world, in this life. We're not to be. That's fine. There are things, in a sense, that we need to do. But in another sense, we put too much, too often, into the wrong things. We give ourselves to things that are not, let's put it this way, our priorities need to align with the truth that all of this is temporary and that all we really need is Christ. Let's, by God's grace, may our priorities line up with that. Food and raiment are mentioned here. They're considered necessities, and that's fine. Don't forget where they come from. You still just need God, don't you? Who's going to give you those things? If not Him, Matthew 6:31, don't forget this when you're thinking about food and raiment, what we're going to eat. You know, I've got to take care of my family, got to raise my family, got to provide for my family. That's true. Scripture says a man that won't do that's worse than an infidel. Don't forget this. Matthew 6:31, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. It's different now when you know God. It's not the same as other people. The Gentiles seek these things, picturing the godless in this world. They seek these things in a different way than we do. That's all they think about. But by God's grace, we understand that if we have all of that and we don't have Christ, we don't have anything. We understand by God's grace where these things come from. And He knows that we need them. Don't worry about them. It doesn't mean don't think about it. We have to think about it. We have to go to work. We have to do what we do. God blessed us with that. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added. The God who knows that you need them will add them to you. Oh, that's more than just He'll meet our needs. He will. He does. David said, I've never seen the Lord's seed begging bread now. He will. He will do that. He knows we need Him. And He'll add them to you. But understand this too. If He doesn't add them to you, you're not going to have them. These things come from the Lord, just like mercy and grace and forgiveness. I'll tell you this. It doesn't matter what you have in this world if you don't have His mercy, His grace and the forgiveness of sins in Christ, you have nothing. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You know what his righteousness is? The Son of God. If you try it the other way around now, there are some that just flat out are just out for themselves. Dog eat dog, you know, the one that dies with the most toys wins. Get all you can and can all you get. And then there's believers that by God's grace, we realize what's happening in this world. It ain't just me scrapping out a living. That ain't what it's about. That's not what God's doing. This is not just a cage with his pets that he feeds. This is about his glory. This is about Christ being exalted in this world. This is about the redemption of his bride. The kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And these things will be added. They're just add-ons. And then there are those who try it the other way around. They don't just have no thought at all for God. It's not just about dog eat dog. But they seek the things of this world first. And then God is kind of added onto that. If you seek first the things that feel like they will bring you contentment, and then just add the worship of God in to that, not only will you never be content, but God says he would rather that you be completely cold than that. You and I can only truly be content if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. For God to be God and for us to know it, for you to be happy with that, you've got to know it to be true. For you to be content with that, you've got to understand it as reality. Think about this now, about what I said. You and I can only be truly content if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you trust people? Have you found that to be the case? Now, there are those that we place a certain amount of trust in. And I've known cases where even the normal trust that we place in people has been completely and utterly betrayed. Has that been your experience in life that you can trust people? My dad said to me before he died, I'll never forget it, I've told you before. He said, even your mom and I may let you down, but the Lord will never let you down. And I've never forgotten that. He said, you can trust him. Can you trust yourself? Really now, most people never even give that a thought. Of course, people say the only one you can really trust is yourself. Do you believe that? Has that been your experience? You find that to be what God said? That's a sad place, boy. If you say the only one you can trust is yourself, you're in a sad place. Can you trust in riches? Seem like you're invincible if you had $10 million. That'd probably do it, you know. I'd be safe and secure, really? Verse 9 in our text, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare. You see, this is mentioned here when he's talking about godliness with contentment is great gain. But now he's saying this, what this world considers great gain is not. There's a reason why the Lord said you can't serve God and mammon. He mentions two things. There's a reason for that. because mammon represents gain, fleshly gain, worldly gain, prosperity and popularity and the praise of this world. They that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. I've seen them drowning. If you've ever seen somebody drown, your only thought is, what can I do to help? I want to help them. But you know what? The only thing that's going to help them is the gospel. The gospel. And you know that, and you might even try to tell them that, but you can't hear it for them. You can't make them hear it. For the love of money is the root. Love, not money. Love, that love is the root of all evil. What we love by nature is the root of all evil. Which while some coveted after they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You see, that's the opposite of contentment, is to covet after. They have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Think of this. Think of this, to be able to fully trust the Lord Jesus Christ. To honestly not place any trust whatsoever in your circumstance in life. There are relationships that require trust. They require a certain level of trust. But we're not talking about what you trust them for. And even what you trust them for, they may well betray, no matter who it is. It can happen. But we're trusting here concerning that which we need. Our trust here is concerning that which will make us happy, content, needing nothing. No aid or anything is needed. We sing that song, they who trust him wholly find him wholly true. To have nothing. Listen now, this is part of it too, to have absolutely nothing depend on you. If any of it depends on you, you will never be content. And what will pass for contentment in your life will be unbelief, rejection of the Lord, self-righteousness. And we've got to come to that place now. To trust him alone in so much that when you fall, the Lord is there. And you know he is. You know he will be before you ever fall. The Lord is there. He'll catch you. He'll lift you up. When you make your bed in hell, the Lord is there. If you ever made your bed there, when even your father and your mother forsake you, the Lord will take you up. Do you trust him that much? Psalm 139, 1 through 13. If you want to jot that down, what a beautiful passage of scripture. I was going to read it, but think about this. I may not have a penny tomorrow. I may not have a penny. I might lose every bit of it. It may be worthless tomorrow. It's already worth less than it was a year ago. It might be completely worthless tomorrow, but the Lord Jesus Christ, who owns everything, will still love me. If you had a rich relative that was a billionaire, and they had told you, don't worry about if you lose your job, if you're ever destitute, just call me. I'll toss you a billion. You'll be all right. That'd feel pretty good, wouldn't it? That's not even close. It's not even close to where we are in the Lord. The Lord who owns everything will still love me the day I have nothing. The Lord Jesus Christ will still hold me in his hand. Our country may fall apart. We've seen chaos in the streets like I would never have imagined. It's not like never before. It's happened before. Not in my lifetime. The Lord's still on the throne. He still rules everybody and everything. And by God's grace, we trust him. We trust him. What unspeakable gain it is to be free from the law of God. To know that Christ himself is our perfect righteousness before God that cannot be added to nor ever diminished. We are right with God. That's contentment. You're not ever going to be content until that's true. I'm perfect in the sight of God, holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. That's contentment. That's great gain. That's incalculable gain, immeasurable, to see ourselves in Christ Jesus, standing holy and without spot before the very throne of God, washed white in his precious blood. What gain to see in Christ crucified all of our suffering for sin already endured by him in our place, and we will never bear it. Nothing to fear, nothing to be guilty of, nothing to regret. When Christ is all you need, then you will have all you need. And not until. Well, Chris, what I need is for my loved one to be saved. I need God. I pray every night. I need God to save my child or the one that I love. Christ is that salvation. It's not that he needs something that only Christ can give. He needs Christ. She needs Christ. Christ is that salvation. I need my relationship to be healed, whatever it is. Who's going to do that? Who can heal hearts? Who can mend hearts? Who can knit hearts together but him? And what you need is him in that, whether that relationship endures or not. He gives and he takes, and for his people both are a blessing. What we need is him. Has the Lord ever taken away anything that you thought you needed? He may do more of that. He may do more of that. And he may not. But here's his glorious promise to us. Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation, your conduct, be without covetousness. In other words, be content. That's what it said. And be content with such things as you have. Oh, well, that just means the stuff I have should be enough. Well, there's some truth in that, but that's not what it says. Listen to this now. I'm going to start over. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Covetousness is the opposite of contentment. Let your conduct be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave you, nor forsake you. The stuff we have is not what we're content with. We're content with him. Content with beholding his face. I all to his pleasure resign. And no changes of season or place would make any change in my mind. Remember what contentment means. No aid or support is needed. The condition of life where you don't need any help or anything. We sing that little chorus, thy presence, the only thing needful I see. Do we really see it that way? All your needs are met. How does God give us what we need? Listen to this. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according as he owns everything in the world. No, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The storehouses of his grace are a person. Interesting that two necessities are mentioned in verse 8. Food and raiment. Having therefore food and raiment, be content. What do we really need? John 6:53, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Having food, real food, food indeed, therewith be content. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day, for my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Do you have food? Be happy with it. Be content. What else do you need? Well, we got to have something to wear, don't we? One of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And listen, I've never seen this before. The next verse, therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night. What can you wear to God's throne? That robe of his righteousness, washed in his precious blood, the wedding garment, the best robe. That's the only thing you can wear to the throne. Listen to this now. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. You got raiment? You got something to wear? You got food and raiment? Be content. Be content. Notice in verse 9 that those who are rich are not who fall. It's those that want to be. What a lesson now. What a lesson. It's not the rich that fall. It's those that would be. You know what most rich people want to be? Rich. You know what most poor people want to be? Rich. That's who falls. Those who want to be. Those who strive for that. Those who live for that. Those who give themselves for that which is not. And that can be anybody. Rich or poor. Those who have Christ have all they need. Those who sell all that they have and buy that one pearl of great price, they never regret it. They never sell it. Proverbs says, buy the truth and don't ever sell it. You won't. You won't. Those who sell all they have. Listen to this. Let's just read this in closing. Matthew 13:45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, here's a merchant, he's looking for pearls, he's looking for goodly pearls. That's what he does. He's a pearl buyer. And he found one pearl that put him out of business. I'm done. Nothing to look for anymore. He went and sold all that he had and bought it. May God give us grace to get out of the pearl business. Got any? You need anything you don't have? You need anything at all? Ask God. If God is God, and you like it that way, just ask him. He said, you have not because you ask not. And he, whosoever shall ask anything in my name, my Father will give it to him. May God give us grace. Amen.